As we learned at the end of yesterday's shiur, we're up to Daf Chaf Aleph, Amud Aleph, the fourth line, Amleir of Achabarei, the Rav Ravashi. At the end of yesterday's shiur, we were discussing that the Torah is very specific regarding a stay achuza. That when a stay achuza, if somebody sells a stay achuza, the halacha is that he can redeem it at any time from the purchaser. But if he redeems it from the purchaser, when Yovel comes, he will receive it back. And the Gemara taught us that the Torah teaches us the halacha is that it can't be partially redeemed. Moreover, not only can't it be partially redeemed, you can't borrow money to redeem it. And the Gemara began to ask regarding other situations where the Torah speaks about redemption, where items were sold and they could be redeemed. What will be the halacha? Could it be partially redeemed or not? And the Gemara attempted to say at the end of the shiur that the halacha will be regarding batei erechaima, that if somebody sells a bayis in the erechaima, where the halacha is that if somebody sells a house in the erechaima, the house must be redeemed within 1 year. And the Gemara was questioning that redemption that you only have 1 year to do. Can it be partially redeemed or not? And the Gemara, based in Kal v'chomer of Rav Shimon, says it can be partially redeemed. However, the opinion of the Rabbanan was that it cannot be partially redeemed. And as we learned, it's all based on Kal v'chomer. Do we say the fact that bayis stei achuza, you have the strength that you're going to get back in Yovel, should that create a circumstance that in a bayis irchaima, where you don't have that strength, you certainly can't partially redeem? Or it can be argued the other way. If in a place where you have this tremendous strength, that you're going to get back the stei achuza anyway by Yovel, you still can't partially redeem? Certainly by a bayis irchaima, where if you're not going to redeem it within a year, you lose it forever, you can't partially redeem. Amar Leir of Acha Bered Rav Ravashi Ikla Mifrach. When we try to make a Kal v'chomer that the halacha is that you could partially redeem a bayis irchaima, Ma'ala Moicha bayis b'bati irchaima, if somebody sells a bayis irchaima, Shen hura koicha ligo l'oilam, Vira halacha is that you can't ever redeem it. And perhaps there the halacha is because you can't ever redeem it. So we see that the Torah is taking a very strict position. Similarly, you can't partially redeem it. However, time of a magdish, the halacha is, if somebody is magdish, a stei achuza, the halacha is as follows, that if I don't redeem it back until Yovel, and hegdish in all those years until Yovel doesn't sell it to another party, when Yovel comes, I get it back. So since a magdish does have the ability, I should be able to partially redeem it. So that's why we don't know what to say regarding this person who's a magdish tei achuza. So now we're saying that we don't have a Kal v'chomer to prove what should be the din by Magdish Tei Achuza. So the Gemara attempts to say a Tzad HaShava. Marchas Tei Achuza Yofiach. We'll prove it from Marchas Tei Achuza. What Allah is, Shiyofa Koichai, he has the ability, Ligal Oilam, that he can always redeem it. And yet, the Torah teaches us explicitly, Vein Loivi, you can't borrow money. Moreover, Ve'egoyev Goyelach Tzon, you can't partially redeem it. On the other hand, what are you going to say regarding a Meicha Stei Achuza? That the halacha is, Shekein Hura Koichai Ligal Miyad. The halacha is that a person cannot redeem a Stei Achuza for the first 2 years after he sells it. And therefore, what are we going to argue? You can't bring a proof from a Magdish Tayachuza, from a Maichas Tayachuza, because a Maichas Tayachuza has this limitation that you can't be goyalit. You can't redeem it right away. A Magdish Tayachuza doesn't have that limitation. So since it doesn't have that limitation, you can't learn a Magdish from a Maicha. But you'll bring a proof. So then you'll say, the Maicha Bayis B'Yerchayma, where we just said at the beginning of our shir, the Rabbanon hold that a Maicha Bayis B'Yerchayma cannot be partially redeemed. So that should be a proof that even, and the Maicha Bayis B'Yerchayma does not have the limitation that you can't be goyled for the first 2 years. The Chazar Adain, Loi Rizek Rizek, at Sarah Shabahem, Shein Negolim, that they could be redeemed. Then Loiv of a Goy of Lach Tzoyim. Af Ani Ovi Magdish, Shein Negol, something that's Magdish Techuza, that could redeem it. Then Loiv of a Goy of Lach Tzoyim. So the Gemara is successfully arguing that we can't learn Magdish Techuza, not from Moichus Techuza, nor from Moicha Bayis B'Yerchayma, because they have this complication that they cannot be redeemed, that they each have a complication. Amalei Mazutra, B'Reid Reb Mori Lervina, Ikla Mifra. But, so you should learn from a Tzad HaShava that you shouldn't be able to partially redeem it. Says the Gemara, we could ask on this Tzad HaShava. Ma'al Tzad HaShava hen, Shein Hura Koicha Ligo B'Shein of Shniyah. Let's think about it. As I said earlier, if somebody's Moicha is Teyachuza, the Loch is, that for the first 2 years he can't redeem it. If somebody is moicha bayis bi'ir choyma, the loch is, he has to redeem it only in the first year. If he lets the first year pass without redeeming it, he loses his opportunity to redeem it. So if we look at both of these cases, in year two, you can't redeem it. Why? Again, a moicha steichuzi can't redeem until year three. A Meiches Bayis B'Yerchayma, after year one, you can never redeem it. So they have this common denominator that neither of them could be redeemed in the second year. On the other hand, a Meicher, a Magdish Teyachuza, could be redeemed in year two. So maybe a Magdish Teyachuza, which has this leniency that it could be redeemed in year two, should also have a leniency that it can be partially redeemed, even though a Meiches Teyachuza, and even though a Meiches Bayis B'Yerchayma can't be partially redeemed. Let's learn the Gemara inside. Amar Mazit Breidu Ramari Lervina. Ikla Mevrach, we can ask him this. Malat Sada Shavu Shebehen, both of these cases, Meiches Teyachuza and Meiches Bayis B'Yerchayma, Shekein Hura Koichim, neither of them can be redeemed in year two. Time of Magdish, a Magdish yofa koich ligal b'shana shniya. So therefore, perhaps it also could be partially redeemed. So we're back to where we started. What is the din by a Magdish steyachuza? Can it be partially redeemed on that? Omle Ravina, mishun de ikal meimer. We still could keep the tzad hashava alive because we can add another element into the tzad hashava. What is this element? Evet iver ivri had nimkal oiv kechavim. The halach is that the pasuk teaches us explicitly that if evet ivri was sold to a guy, that the halach is sheyafa koyach ligo b'shana shniya, that you can redeem him and you ought to redeem him immediately. Vein goyv of a goyel goyel lechtzaim, but he also cannot be partially redeemed. So why did you want to say that the magdish teyachuza has a specific strength that he can be redeemed in the second year. And therefore, because he has the strength that it can be redeemed in the second year, perhaps that's also a proof that it can be partially redeemed. It's not true. And Evid Ivri also could be redeemed in year two when he was sold to a guy, and yet he can't be partially redeemed as he proved yesterday. And therefore, what we're up to at this point is that the Gemara holds that certainly a Moiches Teyachuza, where the Torah is clear about it, cannot be partially redeemed. But neither can an Evid Ivri, who is sold to a guy, be partially redeemed. Neither could Moicha Bayis B'Yerchayma, at least according to Rabbanan, be redeemed, and neither could a Magdish Dayachuza. All of these individuals cannot be redeemed. Now ask the Gemara another question. The Torah speaks about, by every soul to a guy specifically, and by a Dayachuza specifically, that they should be, that the relatives have an obligation to try to redeem those assets. So now ask the Gemara, Bominei Rafuna Bachinan Amar Rav Sheshes. Hamaych Ba'as Barat Yerchayma. What's going to be the din regarding somebody selling a house in the Yerchayma? Does the same din apply? Negel Akroivim, Ein Negel Akroivim. Do we say that relatives have the obligation to redeem it? Do we say, Gulasu Gulasu Mistei Chuza, that just like Mistei Chuza, the Torah teaches us the relatives should redeem it, so too here. Says the Gemara, Mas Teichuza, Ein in the Gels Lachtzom, Ein in the Gels Lachroivim. Do we argue that just like the Teichuza cannot be partially redeemed, but there is a halacha that the relative should redeem it? Af Hai Nami, according to Rabbanim, the Moich Abayis Birchoyma, we've said at the end of yesterday's Shin, we mentioned in our introduction today, Ein Nigel Lachtzom, should not be partially redeemed, and therefore the nigel akrivim, idoma kiks of gula, regarding what is the moicha bayis birchoyma compared to the moicha steichuza, regarding partial redemption, the neither should be partially redeemed. However, the krivim like siv, regarding the din of relatives, they're not connected to each other, and therefore, even though the Torah teaches us that a moicha steichuza, the relatives should redeem it, that has nothing to do with the din of a moicha bayis birchoyma. I just want to explain for a moment what the Gemara means when it speaks about relatives redeeming it. The Farshim explain as follows. Certainly, if the person who sold it has the opportunity to redeem it, we compel the purchaser to take the money. Even though he may say, you know what, I don't want your money, I want to keep the field. I want to keep the bayis birchoyma. He doesn't have an option. On the other side, if the relatives want to redeem it, and the person who bought these assets is willing to go ahead with the deal, again, nobody's getting in the way of business. The question here is, are relatives treated like the original owner? And do we say that just like the original owner could force the purchaser to allow him to redeem it, do relatives have that same right or not? By Marchas Teichuza, the Torah clearly indicates that the relatives have those rights. And now the Gemara's question is, what would be the din by Marchas Bayis Birchoyma? There's an interesting Machloikas Rishonim. Regarding a Marchas Teichuza, the Torah teaches us clearly that relatives have those rights. What does it mean that the relative have those rights? Does it mean when the relative goes and redeems it, he keeps it? What does it mean that when the relative redeems it, he has to give it back to the original owner? It's machlokes rishonim. Then there's another interesting machlokes rishonim. When we speak about relatives, who are the relatives? Are the relatives any relatives, whether it's from the father's side or the mother's side, or are the relatives specifically relatives from the father's side? So I was thinking that perhaps these two machlokes rishonim are connected. What do I mean? If we say that when relatives redeem it, they're redeeming it on behalf of the relative who originally sold it, and that's the job of a relative, to worry about their relative. So what's the difference if he's related to me from my mother's side or from my father's side? He's trying to help me out. If, however, the halach is, and this is actually the opinion of the Rebbeinu Bechaya, that when the relative redeems it, he redeems it not on behalf of the person who originally sold it. He keeps it. So now we can understand, what's the din of a steichuza? Why is the Torah, not us, why is the Torah so anxious that relatives should redeem it? Because they don't want to see that this steichuza should leave the family. But which family keeps the steichuza? The father's family, not your mother's family. So therefore, according to those opinion, only the father's family redeems it and keeps it. The mother's family, what am I accomplishing with them redeeming it and keeping it? It's still not where we want it to be, amongst the base Av, where it belongs. Amalei, ein nigel. So the Gemara says, the halacha is that a mocher Bayis Pirchoima is not, there is no din that the relatives get the special treatment. Eisvei asked the Gemara, there's a Braisa. The Pasuk says, B'chol Geula Titnu, L'Rabbis Batim Ever Ivri, that they should be relative, that they should be redeemed by relatives. My love, isn't this Braisa explicitly teaching us that Batim Yerichoima, the relatives have the special right? So how are we paskening differently? Says the Gemara, no, it doesn't speak about Bate Yerichoima. This Pasuk is speaking about Bate Chatzerim. That relatives, that a Bate Chatzerim are sold, we give their relatives the same rights that we gave the person that sold it. Says the Gemara, I don't need B'chol Gulet Ditnu to teach us that din. Bate Chatzerim Behedik Sibu. There's an explicit Pasuk that give the relatives that right. The Bate Chatzerim. Because the Pasuk says, Asteya Oretz Yechashiv. So if that can't be the purpose of the Pasuk, says Mar, yes, I still need the Pasuk. Even by Bate Chatzerim. Because Ahu L'Kav Chayva. Not only do the relatives have this right, they have actually the obligation. Because it's really the subject, says the Gemara, of Machloik's Tanoim. The Liba Dribbeleza. The Tanya, the girl Esmimker Achiv. The Torah says that the relatives should redeem. Rishus Ataim Rishus. Do the relatives have the option or the relatives have the obligation? The Torah speaks about a person who has no relatives. So the question, how's it possible that somebody doesn't have a relative? Let's say you do have relatives and you did sell, but the relatives don't want to take that option. It's just biyadai. That's Rabbi Yeshua's opinion. So I saw that the Rishonim ask that the Gemara is assuming that it's impossible to have a situation of a stay achuza that the individual has no relatives. So the Rishonim ask that there is such a situation. What's the situation? You have a ger. Are you going to say a ger has no stay achuza? Because stay achuza is what we inherited back to Yeshua's time, but a ger doesn't go back to Yeshua's time. So Rishonim say a ger can end up with a stay achuza. Because we know, discussed this many times, if someone dies and he doesn't have any sons, who inherits him? His daughters. So now the daughter got steyachuza. The daughter goes and marries a ger, and we've also learned, Masechta Yevamos, Masechta Ksuvos, that if a wife dies, who inherits her? Her husband. So if her husband, the ger, will end up with a steyachuza. So what's the Gemara assuming? That you can never have a situation of a steyachuza not owned by with somebody with a relative. I just gave you such a situation. So the Rishonim answer, it's inconceivable that the pasuk that's speaking about a steyachuza is going to introduce someone that it's not a relative. And it must be that a steyachuza is only referring to a relative. But going back to the Gemara, Rav Elazar, I'm the goal of Smenka Achiv Chayva, that the obligation that if somebody sold a steyachuza, that his relatives should redeem it, it's not only optional, it's actually obligated to do it. So now we go back to where we started. The Gemara says, the Pasuk says, B'chol Gula Titnu. And the Gemara assumed that what's that Pasuk referring to? The Pasuk is referring to the case of Moicha Arachayma by Spirachayma. And that Pasuk is teaching us that Amarcha Bayis Birchoyma, there too the relatives have this special privilege. So the Gemara, that Pasuk is not talking about Bayis Birchoyma, that Pasuk is talking about a Steichuza. But what will be the halacha of Bayis Birchoyma, we don't yet know. Amle Rabbonim Ravashi, Vamle Ravina Ravashi, Mishtam Lamandam Laravis Bate Birchoyma, according to the Mandam that says that the Pasuk is coming to teach us that even Bate Birchoyma relatives should redeem, we can understand why the Torah uses the word bekal to include even this case. And you're right, we're going to say it's coming to teach us that the relatives not only have the right to redeem, but they have the obligation to redeem. Why do we need the word bekal? Bekal comes to say that something that we weren't speaking about previously in the Torah now is included. There's nothing that wasn't spoken about. Bate Chatzerim was spoken about. So to say that this pasuk is speaking about Bate Chatzerim, and that we don't have a proof regarding Bati Rechaimah, and therefore the psak that the Gemara gave, that Bati Rechaimah are not, the relatives don't have a special right, remains a difficult position, kasha. But as we've quoted the Mefarshim many times, there's a difference when the Gemara speaks about a tiyufta, when the Gemara uses the word tiyufta, or the Gemara uses the word kasha. When the Gemara uses the word tiyufta, means it's a refutation, that's a final refutation. When the Gemara uses the word kasha, it means there's a kasha, but it doesn't mean it's completely refuted. So why is it only a kasha, not a tiyufta? So sort of Mefarshim want to say that perhaps the pasuk is talking regarding an Ever Ivri. And that an Ever Ivri, under certain circumstances, which we'll discuss in a moment, the relatives have the obligation to redeem, and the Torah doesn't speak about that case, and that's what Bekol is teaching us, and we don't have a proof that Bais Birchoyma relatives have a right, and the psak that the Gemara gave, that Bais Birchoyma, the relatives, don't have a special privilege, could stand. Esvei Abaya continues the Gemara asking, the pasuk says, the Baisa says, Matam Alayma Yigalena Yigalena Gema Pamim, the Torah used the word Yigalena three times, Rabbis Kala Gulas Shinagulas Pesedeze, that whenever the Torah speaks about redemption, relatives have this special right, says the Lav, and isn't it teaching us that by Bati Urchaima, the relative have the special privileges, and similarly Evet Ivri, says the Gemara, no. Yigalena Yigalena is referring to Bati Chatzerim Vesteyachuza, that the relative should redeem. Says the Gemara, I don't need the Yugalena Yugalena that the Torah mentions three times. The Torah clearly indicates the relative should redeem. So that's not what Yugalena comes to teach us. Answers the Gemara, Yugalena Yugalena comes to teach us as Rav Nachman Yitzchak will say, and the Gemara is going to quote where Rav Nachman Yitzchak said it, that when we speak about relatives having special privileges, we go in succession. The closer relative goes first. Hachnami l'karv karv kaitim. So I saw a vort from the Taisus Bracha. Taisus Bracha is the Torah Tamima. It says a beautiful vort based on this concept of karv karv kaitim. He says, the pasuk in Parshas Bukhu Kaisai, but the Chacha says, Zecharti l'brisi Yaakov, Brisi Yitzchak, Brisi Avram Eskar, Varetz Eskar. And the Gemara and the Medrash right away asks, why is it that the Pasuk is going in reverse order, mentioning Yaakov and then Yitzchak and then Avram? We always follow the proper order. Avram came first, Yitzchak second, and Yaakov last. So the Gemara says, if Yaakov's chus won't be enough, add Yitzchak's chus. If Yitzchak's chus won't be enough, add Avram's chus. The Tosfos Bracha says, what's the Pasuk teaching us? The Pasuk is teaching us that there may be a time where Klai Yisrael is going to have to rely on Schus Ovis to help us out. Our Gemara just taught us that when we're relying on relatives, the closer the relative, that relative comes first. So Yaakov is a closer relative to us than Yitzchak. And Yitzchak is a closer relative to us than Avram, because Yaakov lived two generations closer to us than Yitzchak. And Yitzchak lived a closer generation than Avram. So that's why the Pasuk mentions Yaakov first, then Yitzchak, and then Avram. So we just spoke about this concept of Karav Karav Kaidim. Ask the Gemara, Heich Itman Rav Nachman Yitzchak, where is this concept introduced? Aha, regarding this question. The Barilahu, Eved Ivri and Nimkal Yisrael, the Torah clearly teaches us that Eved Ivri who is sold to a guy, the family has the obligation to try to redeem him. No. I know what I said. And every that was sold to Goy, the relatives have an obligation to redeem him. Now the question of Gemara is, what will be the din but every and Nimkal Yisrael? Nigel Akroivim or Enigel Akroivim? Do the family there too have that obligation? Says the Gemara, leave it to Rebbe Leite Bailach. According to Rebbe, it's not a question. That were Misha and Nigel Ba'ela, Nigel B'Sheish. Rebbe, we learned Rebbe's opinion previously in Daf Tes Vav, clearly indicates that by an Eved Ivri who was sold to another Jew, there isn't this thing of family redeeming him. Lo Mifrik. That's clear. Tik de Bailach, when was this, according to whom was this question posed? Aliva de Rabbanan. Mi Yapinin, Socher, Socher. Do we learn a Gzeris Shava between an Eved Ivri that was sold to a Jew, to an Eved Ivri that was sold to a Goy? And just like an Eved Ivri that was sold to a Goy, the family should redeem him. So to an Eved Ivri to a Jew, v'loy der shini yigaleno, adema yigaleno lezeh, v'loy l'acher, only an Eved Ivri sold to a Goy, does the family have to redeem him, not when he was sold to a Jew. Tashma, B'chol Gula Titnu, L'Rabbis Batim Ve'Eved Ivri. Maila, Batim Arichayma, Ve'Eved Ivri and Nimkal Yisrael. So it's a clear indication that this Brice is teaching us that Eved Ivri and Nimkal Yisrael, his family should redeem him. Says the Gemara, Loi. It's talking about Eved Ivri and Nimkal Yisrael Kechavim. Ask the Gemara, I don't need Brice to find a pasuk to teach us that every Ivri had Nimka Levikachavim should be redeemed by family. By him, but had Yiksibai. It says explicitly in the Torah, I died, I ben died, Yikalana. His uncle, his cousin, should redeem him. Says the Gemara, Hahul Kaiva Chaiva, a filler of Yeshua. Even Rabbi Yeshua that suggested that relatives, even though they have special privileges by Steichuza, they don't have an obligation. Here, when we're referring to an Eved Ivri who was sold to a guy, he will agree that he has special obligation. Tashma. So continues the Gemara. Matam lam yigalenu yigalenu gimapam. The Torah uses the word yigalenu three times. The rabbis call a gulois, shenei gulois kaseidazeh. My love. Again, the Gemara wants to suggest that's referring to Bati Arachayma, the Eved Ivri and Nimkal Yisrael. And we see that Eved Ivri and Nimkal Yisrael should be redeemed by relatives. So the Gemara loy, that's referring to Bati Chatzerim v'stei Achuza. Ask the Gemara again, Bati Chatzerim v'adik Sibu, Bati Chatzerim v'stei Achuza, the relatives should redeem. We have an open pasuk that says Astei Arzi Chashiv, so it must be about Eved Ivri HaNimka LiYisrael. So the Gemara Amram Nachman Yitzchak, what the Brice means is to teach us the concept that we just spoke about before. The Karav Kaidim. The relatives come, the closer the relative, he comes first. So we don't have a conclusive proof, not what the halach is regarding an Eved Ivri Hanimka LiYisrael. We don't have any proof at all. And the psak that the Gemara gave, that a Marech Bais Birchayma, the relatives don't have a special privilege, stands. It wasn't able to be refuted. We go back to other halachas. Venirza, we know that the Torah speaks, so we're going to spend a lot of time speaking about this individual in the coming shiurim, that an Eved Ivri who was sold for 6 years decides that he wants to remain longer. The halacha is nikna b'ritzia. The ksiv, v'ratza adonav as ozmei b'martzeya. So Rishonim ask, why is a nirza specifically nikna b'ritzia? The halacha is that a nirza should also be nikna b'kesef b'shtar. And they should make a very strong argument. They say, if a regular Eved Ivri, where ritzia doesn't work, kesef and shtar do work, so certainly by a nirza, where ritzia works, kesef and shtar should work. So the Rishonim answer that a regular Eved Ivri leaves his owner with kesef and shtar. And therefore, just like he leaves with kesef and shtar, he could be bought with kesef and shtar. A nirza, as we're about to learn in a moment, doesn't leave his owner with kesef ishtar, and therefore he's different than a regular Eved Ivri, and he doesn't enter with kesef ishtar. But then the Rishonim ask just the opposite. Why don't we say that a regular Eved Ivri should be bought with ritzia? With the following argument. If a nirza can only be bought with ritzia, kesef ishtar doesn't work by him, then a regular Eved Ivri, by who kesef ishtar work, certainly ritzia should work. So Rishonim say a different answer. As we're going to learn, part of the procedure of Ritzia is that the Eved approaches his owner and says, Ahavti es ishti v'esponai. I love you all. An Eved Ivri that didn't begin working can't make that statement of Ahavti. As part of the Ritzia procedure is making that statement of Ahavti. If you can't make that statement, obviously it's not going to work. The Kainas Atzmai, B'yoyvel v'misis Adon. How does a nirza leave? Either with Yoyvel arriving or the Adon dying. The ksiv, v'avodoy, he only works for the master, v'loyse ben v'loyse bas, not his children. And the Torah says, lo'olam, v'avodoy lo'olam, and as we proved earlier, in Daf Yud Zayin, lo'olam means, olam ashal Yoyvel, until Yoyvel. Tan Rabbanan. Matzeya. The Torah speaks about a drill. Only ele matzeya to make the hole. Menayin l'rabbis, hasul, vasir, v'amachet, v'amachdich, all of these sharp implements that can make a hole. V'amachdiv is a pen. Tamalayim v'lakachta. The rabbis called dovish shenikach. Anything that can be taken to make a hole is effective. Divrei Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Omer, ma'amar tzeh miyuchat shamatchis, a matzeya, a drill, is made out of metal, af kol shamatchis. Anything that's made out of metal can be used to make the hole. Davar acher, hamatzeya, lavi hamatzeya gadol. A large drill is also acceptable. I'm Rebbe Lezer, Yudim Rebbe, Hayudarish. Kishay Reitzin, when they do the Ritzia, Ein Ritzin El Ramayser. They only do the Ritzia, B'milsa. B'milsa is the part of the ear, not the earlobe. Rebbe, V'chamayrim, Ein, I'm sorry, on the opposite. Ein Ritzin El B'milsa. They only make the hole in the earlobe. The Chamayim and every Kayin Nirtza. The Cham say, if somebody's an Eved Ivri who's a Kayin, we can't do Ritzia, Neshinasa Balmum, because he becomes a Balmum. Vim Taima, B'milsa Heim Reitzim, if we're going to say that the hole is made in the earlobe, Heich Eved Ivri Kayin Nasa Balmum, he doesn't become a Balmum anyway. A hole in the earlobe doesn't make you about mum, ella ha'ein nirtza. It must be that the koyin is where is the hole made. It's only made the goyvish shel oizim in the top part of the ear, in the hard part where if somebody has a hole over there, the halacha is that it does make him into a balmum. So just to recap, according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Rebbe, the hole is made in the earlobe, and therefore a koyin can become a nirtza, because it doesn't make him into a balmum. According to the other man, the Omer, the hole is made in the upper part of the ear, where if somebody, chas v'sham, has a hole there, he's a balmum. A kohen is not allowed to become a balmum, and therefore, the halacha is that kohen doesn't have ritzia, but the hole is made in the hard part, in the upper part of the ear. What does Rabbi Yehuda Rebbe teach us for this pasuk? He's saying just the opposite. The pasuk is coming to teach us that a kohen can become a nirtza. So I sort of mefarshim ask two interesting questions. Here it's clear that a kohen can be an eved ivri. The only question is, could he be a nirtza? But the Gemara isn't questioning if he could be an eved ivri. The question is, how could a kohen be an eved ivri? We're not allowed to use a kohen to work for us. So there are two simple terutzim. One terutz is that if a kohen is Michael, then there's no problem. So obviously, if the kohen agreed to be an Eved Ivri, so there's no problem. Another answer is, you're allowed to have an employee who's a kohen. Why? Because you're paying him. To just use a kohen to do something for you where he's not Michael and he's not getting paid is an issue. Here, he's getting paid. The Eved Ivri gets paid to become an Eved Ivri. If you have a kohen who's your employee and you're paying him, there's no issue of working with a kohen. There are other options. We could refer to a kohen who's an amaretz, a kohen who's amaretz, which is possible, which kohen who's not amaretz is going to come an eved, is allowed to work for a talmid chacham, or others say that one kohen could work for another kohen. Another interesting question that I saw that the Mishnah Melech says, the Gemara says here, that at least according to the opinion of the Chachamim, a Kayin who's an Eved Ivri cannot become a Nirtza because he becomes a Balmum. Says the Mishnah Lamelech, what will be the din if this Kayin is Balmum anyway? Could he become a Nirtza? The entire reason we don't want him to become a Nirtza is because he's becoming a Balmum. He's a Balmum anyway. And the Mishnah Lamelech suggests that a Kayin who's already a Balmum can become a Nirtza. And then the last question that's a little more relevant is as follows. The Shaila Meishiv discusses such a question. There was a child of a Kayin, a son of a Kayin, who Rahman al-Tzlan was born with an extra finger. And it was obviously not that nice, somebody who has six fingers. And the question was, can he have his finger amputated? That there was a doctor who claimed that he could do it without making him look nice. On the other hand, he may make him into Balmum. May he do it or not? Because the question is even according to Rav Yudin. Because even Rav Yudin, who says that a Kohen Eved Ivri can have Ritzia, that's because the Torah teaches us that he's allowed to have Ritzia. But the Torah doesn't tell us anything about this Kohen who has the extra finger that we should be allowed to amputate him. Actually, from here we see that we have to be very careful about not turning a Kohen into Balmum. Obviously not in a situation of Bikuch Nefesh. Says the Shalom Eishiv, that nowadays, where the main job of the Kohanim, they can't do, because nowadays Kohanim don't do the Avodah, so the concern of turning a Kohen into a Baal Mum is a much lesser concern. At most, it's an Issa D'Rabbanan, and therefore, in a situation where the doctor is anyway claiming that he'll do it without turning him into a Baal Mum, we could be lenient. Says the Gemara, the Maikamifki, what is the Machloikis between Rebbe and the Chachamim? Says the Gemara, the Machloikis is Dar Shiklali Prata. V'kachta, the Torah uses the word v'kachta, klal. Matzei is prat, baz no medalas chaz v'klal. Klal prat the klal, you have to don elak and a prat. Ma prat mafur shalmatchis, the only thing that can be used is metal, av kol shalmatchis. Rav Yosi darish ribi miyota, v'kachta riba, matzeya is a miyot. Baz no medalas chaz v'riba, riba miyot, riba akol. My rabbi, what is included? Rabbi kamili. That anything that can make a hole can be used for a hole. My miyot, sab. If you use some sort of a cream. And as Rashi takes this Gemara to teach us a very important concept. Rashi says that many times we have psukim that first begin with a broad word, then they go to a word that limits, and then there's another word that's broader. And there's a fundamental machlokes, says Rashi, between Rebbe and the Chachamim, how to view such a situation. Because Rashi explains that a klal of prat to klal is very different than a ribi miyut to ribi. A prat, says Rashi, defines the klal. A miyut, says Rashi, doesn't define the rule. It comes to teach us a specific rule. So if we take the approach of klal of prat to klal, with the prat defining the klal, and the prat telling us it has to be metal, that becomes an inherent requirement that making the hole has to be done only with metal. On the other hand, we learn it as a ribui miyut to ribui, as the Chachamim do. The miyut is only teaching us a specific rule. What is the specific rule? That sam should not be used. Everything else is acceptable. That's how Rashi explains the Gemara. And as I said, the implications have implications throughout the whole Torah. Every time we have a pasuk like this, we're going to have a machloikis between Rebbe and Chachamim, how to approach the pasuk. On the other hand, I saw that the Ritva isn't as strong as Rashi, and he says that by a Tana taking a position regarding one pasuk doesn't commit him to every time we have this type of pasuk. And therefore the Ritva says that even, let's say, Rebbe, who in this situation learns the pasuk as a klal or prat, a klal, that doesn't obligate Rebbe, says the Ritva, that every time we're going to have this type of pasuk, he has to use it as a klal or prat, a klal. Here he could explain as a klal or prat, a klal. In other circumstances, he could say it's a ribu miyut ribu. Amamar, hamatzeya, lahavu matzeya godl. Even a large drill can be used. My mashma, kramarova. The Torah teaches us that after the story with Yaakov Avinu and the Malach, and he dislocated his gira nasha, that we don't eat the yerech. Which yerech? Hamayumenes should be yerech, the right one. Because the Torah doesn't teach us which yerech should we not eat, the right or the left. Says the Gemara Masech Techulin. Since the Torah uses the word ha yerech, we mean the better one, which is always the right side. Hachanami, if the Torah uses the word hametzeya, it means even the best miuchat shem hametzeyan, the best drill. Amar Blazer, Yudim Rabbi Yidarish. Kshin Reitzin, when they do this drilling, Ein Reitzin, they do it in the earlobe. The chamarim ain't every kayin nirtza. We can't do ritzi on every kayin. Neshnas b'mum, says the Gemara. V'yas b'mum. So shall we become b'mum, as we discussed earlier. On Rabbi Shol, on Makra, the pasuk says v'shava mishpachtai. After the term of ritzi will end, he has to go back to his family position. L'mochzik shem mishpachtai. Here, if the kayin won't be a b'mum, he won't be able to do the avoda, and therefore, if the ritzi is done on the hard part of the ear, a kayin cannot be nirtza. Ibaruhu. Every kayin mashi yivsula Rabbi Shifcha Kananis. The Torah teaches us, we've discussed this, that every can marry Shifcha Kananis. Do we say Chiddushu? The Torah says that every can marry is Shifcha Kananis. And therefore this then applies, Loshna Kanav Loshna Yisrael, Adoma Shani Kohanim, Hoel V'Riva Ben Mekosim Mitzvah Yisrael. Kohanim are treated differently. Rava B'Mutter, even a Kohen every can marry is Shifcha, V'Shmuel Amar Asa. Amalai Rav Anan Rav Nachman. Kevitsa Beim HaShmuel. When I was in the Yeshiva Shmuel, Beskimidri Atalusu. They were obviously playing games. They weren't paying attention. My Tama Le Tama Maha. Why don't you prove your din from here? V'cham Aymrim and every Kohen every Kohen Nitzer Nei Shabbas Bamum. The Chama said that a tzi is not possible by an every Kohen because it becomes Bamum. Then Taimur and Rabbi Moshe Shifcha Kananis. If you hold that a Eved Ivri doesn't marry Shifcha Kananis, there's another reason why a tzi is not possible. Because the Beinon, as we said earlier in our shir, part of the procedure of Ritzia is that the Eved approaches his owner and says, a hafti as a donius ishti v'bonai. But if he never married a Shifcha Kananis, Feleka, says the Gemara of Asula Midi. So Shmuel's position has been effectively refuted, and certainly an Eved Ivri Kayan may marry Shifcha Kananis. Ask the Gemara another question, since we're talking about Kohanim. Ibaru, Kayan ma be fast tire. We know the Torah teaches us a special parsha, which we're going to discuss more in today's shir and tomorrow's shir, that if somebody goes out to war and he sees a non-Jewish woman and he wants to have relations with her, the Torah gives us a long procedure how he can marry her. There's a very fundamental machlokes rishonim. What is done? Some rishonim say that he could have relations with her during the time of war, one act of relations, and then begin the procedure. Others say that until the procedure is complete, nothing can be done in terms of having relations with her. That's the approach we're going to learn the Gemara with. Says the Gemara, Ibailu, Kai ma bifas tar. Chidishu, the Torah teaches us that a fast tar is permissible, and that is taught, Loishna Kayim v'loishna Yisrael. Idil mashani kohanim, hoyav ariba ben yimitzis yiseris. Kohanim are treated differently. It says again the Gemara. Rav Amar Mutter, the Pasha fast tire even applies to Kayin, Bishmul Amar Asim. Says the Gemara. Be Roshona, the Kula Amar Pliga Dishari. Everybody agrees that the first act of relations is Mutter. Why? Because as we're going to learn, why is the Torah lenient with a fast tire? Highly inappropriate that a Jew should have relations with a non-Jew. Because it's like Dibra Tayel Kenegi Yetzara. The Torah knows that people have a Yetzara. Kohanim also have a Yetzahara. Keep pligi. The entire machlokes is a biyishnia. Rav Amar Mutter. Once she's mutter, would be a rishoina. So Rav says it's mutter would be biyishnia also. B'shmul Amar Asim. Rav Amar Mutter. Hayav ishtri ishtri. Once it's mutter, it's mutter. B'shmul Amar Asim. The havelay giyaris. She's no different than any giyaris. And the halach is for giyaris the kain lechazia. A kain may not marry a giyaris. Ikedamri. Everybody will agree that after the first act, it's asr. Why? To have a giyaris. She's certainly a giyaris, and a giyaris is asr to a kohen. Ki pligi, bebe yirushayna, regarding the first act. Rav Amar Mutter, the loy dibra tayel kenegi yetzahara. The Torah wants, knows the power of the yetzahara, which even has power, unfortunately, over kahan. Mishmul Amar asr. Why? Wherever we'll be able to continue the process of ultimately marrying her, that's why the Torah says Karina Bavarisa B'Shivya, that you can do the first act. However, wherever, where you can't complete and you won't be able to take her as a wife, similarly, like Karina Bavarisa B'Shivya, that you could even do the first act. And that is the basis of the Machlokes Rav and Shmuel.